How we end our lives is the most important and costly conversation we're not having. It's a topic that is resonating as baby boomers born from 1946 to 1964 deal with the passing of their parents, even as they come face to face with their own mortality. The quote that I just gave comes from the website deathoverdinner.org, an organization dedicated to promoting conversations about how we prepare for and spend our final days. Nearly 75% of us want to die at home, yet only 25% of us really do. So the conversation that Death Over Dinner is organizing is designed to lift the taboo around talking about death in hopes of heading off conflicts over finances and medical care and funeral arrangements and avoiding unnecessary suffering at the end of life. This is a conversation that the entire country needs to be having, and we strongly believe it is a conversation that people are ready to have, according to this website. So we thought we'd track down the local expert on death and dying, Lisa and Mark Henderson of Hillcrest Funeral Home. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank
you. Good.
I say Lisa and Mark, I mean, you guys are the ones that run the funeral home, but you're the one that had the courage to step forward and talk about this taboo topic.
Yeah, and it is a taboo topic.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that you brought it up because I think it is something that we just want to avoid talking about. And it's something we are all going to experience in our life.
Really? I'm going to die?
One day you and I are going to be gone.
Yes.
And I just don't understand why our society, and it really is a North American trend, is that we really don't want to discuss dying and preparing for our end of life. And we can really prepare for a good end of life.
Yeah. Well, the numbers really back up what you're saying. I mean, 70% of adults don't have a living will. These are stats that come from a Pew survey. 30% of Americans 65 years and older don't have a will, detailing what should happen with their assets. And you know what? I have to admit, full disclosure, I'm 63 and I ain't got one.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay, so that's going to open a whole other can of worms. I think that's going to be a whole other show.
Yeah.
And that is really an aspect to talk about.
Yeah.
And so many people, you plan things your whole life. You look after your banking. You look after your mortgages. You pay or help your kids through school. All those finances you control, but then so many people, their end of life comes and they leave their financial decisions to everyone else.
Totally unprepared. And even to the government if they
don't
take action.
Well, that's it. And by not having a will, so you have that expense of a will and you do it. And on average, I mean, you can do your own will through Staples. I always recommend going to a lawyer, and the average cost there is not a huge cost at all.
Yeah.
If you do not have a will, someone has to be appointed to settle your estate, and that is leading you $1,000, $1,200. You can get an estimate from a lawyer.
Yeah.
And again, someone has to step forward to be appointed, or then the government steps in.
Yeah, it seems like a bit of a tangent to what we're talking about, but it is a product of this denial that we're mortal and that we're going to die someday.
Exactly. And you talked about that website, and I'm just reading here, it's Let's Have Dinner and Talk About Death.
Mm-hmm.
And there is so much to talk about in there, talking about before someone dies and after someone dies. It's almost two separate subjects.
Yeah.
But at least they're trying to get people talking about it.
And you think that's a good
thing? I think it's a good thing. And I was going through their website. It's a really attractive website. It's called deathoverdinner.org.
Mm-hmm.
And it is such an easy website to use and would sort of walk you through.
Step by step, I would say.
Basically preparing to have a dinner party. And the first section that it comes to, it just says, who's coming to dinner? And you have a whole selection.
A checkoff list.
Yeah.
So who should be there?
Well, you can invite your parents, your grandparents, relatives. You sort of kind of see who you're having the most trouble broaching this subject with.
Yes.
Especially for your first one, who you would be the most comfortable having there, but who you also want to have these conversations with.
Yes.
So once you sort of pick who you're going to have coming to dinner, and it's not by name, you just sort of pick if you're having your relatives or if it's going to be a group of coworkers. Then it leads you to the next section. And it is really that easy. You make the selection and then you move forward to your intention. And one or two samples out of that is myself or a loved one is terminally ill, or I currently have a loved one in critical condition, or I just recently lost someone very close to me. So you kind of pick the reason that you are hosting this dinner. And then that, of course, would lead you to the next section, which is a little bit of homework. Not a lot of homework, and it's good reading. So mm-hmm. it's things to read. You pick one thing to read, one thing to watch, and one thing to listen.
And that's available on the website?
That's available. So you you select that section, mm-hmm. and then again, and it gives you a little background of each thing. Some of the things you'd be surprised about that you might have already read. One of the things that I saw on the watch list was a TED Talk, and I'll talk about that one after.
I love TED Talks. They're so good.
And it was on that list, and it brought me back to reread that information there.
But this is a TED Talk that you had seen before, I think.
Yeah. And then this section then takes you to activate. So you're now ready to activate your dinner. You enter your email and they send a personalized email with an invitation that you can make. You can send it out to your guest. It gives you the watch list, the homework list, post-dinner, and it gives tips for conversation to bring up. Because sometimes you just don't know how to lead in to those conversations, mm-hmm. especially hard conversations like these, but conversations that you have to have.
Yes. Now, people might be wondering, Lisa, why I'm talking to someone who's involved in a funeral home, which is sort of after the death, after the fact. It's already happened. What does it matter to you in terms of the services you provide and the dealings you have with the family? The death has already happened, whether they prepared or not. What have you experienced when people come in? A family comes in and there's a recent death in the family. Does it have an impact on the process and the experience, if the people are well prepared or not?
I think it does. It's interesting when somebody sits across from us and they say the words, "I wasn't prepared. Mm. I don't know what they wanted." Mm. That then sort of sets the tone for trying to plan this good goodbye, and it definitely makes it much more difficult.
Yeah.
When somebody has a conversation with people about what they wanted, so talking about their end of life is coming and they make that hard conversation with their children or with their caregiver and they say, "I really would like this. Mm-hmm. I really would like this."
That would change the whole tone of the event, wouldn't it? I mean, you'd have a confidence and a peace about it, and it would be the beginning of a completion, I suppose.
And there would be no second guessing. Mm-hmm. People in our society tend to second guess themselves a lot, and people who come into the funeral home have doubt, and they're going through the most stressful, difficult time, and they're not thinking clearly. Mm-hmm. So again, if they have these intentions when they come in, then they are already sort of set up to plan the best thing possible to reflect the life of this person.
It's a really good point that you make, because obviously none of us are performing very well under those mm-hmm. circumstances. So a little bit of preparation and, mm-hmm. and pre-planning and thought and discussion, as we're talking about here in these dinners and talk about death, mm-hmm. would have a huge payoff, I guess, because then you could actually, I guess, give in to your feelings of grieving and mourning and all of those things and not have to worry about the mechanics and the details.
Exactly. And from what I was reading, especially from the information from this website, and I was also reading, too, about, I'll come back to that TED Talk, and that was done by a girl, her name is Judy McDonald. And if you have a chance to look her up and look her information, her website is goodendoflife.org. Mm. And again, it just sort of comes back to the different planning aspects. It's a little different than the dinner. That was more about talking.
Yes.
This is more about executing a plan. And again, if all that is done beforehand, you are really preparing your loved ones to also have a better bereavement, a better grief that they go through. And they are going to go through grief and bereavement. So why wouldn't you want to do things and have things in place mm-hmm. to help them down the road also? It doesn't end, they don't get better once the funeral is over and things. It actually does get more difficult. And it is a long-term event that they go through. And again, I do think it's our responsibility mm-hmm. to prepare, to mm-hmm. put things down in writing, mm-hmm. to let people know where your will is, where are your bank accounts, what are my wishes, do I want to die at home? Am I okay to go to a nursing home? Have these conversations so we can all stop guessing what our loved ones want.
Yeah, really good point. Well, I have to say, this is going to sound like a plug, but it isn't at all. It's personal experience. I came in here with my wonderful old mother probably about a year ago. She's 82 now, so it gives you an idea of where they're along. And my dad's still alive. And she wanted to plan her funeral and dad's funeral as well. And she came in and had a long conversation with Mark. And it was fabulous. I was blown away by the level of interest he had in her present circumstances, her living circumstances. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, okay, that was my first awakening that it's kind of a continuum and it's not just, you know, black and white, you're alive and now you're dead, but that here was a funeral director that wanted to know all sorts of things about what her wishes are and what she thought dad's wishes were and the details and where things were and all information to facilitate and to help out at, you know, at if and when, or not if, but when the event happened. Yeah. And it just was an incredible service. And I've witnessed now firsthand, you know, because of recent passings of close, you know, relatives and friends, that there's a follow through there that you guys do that ties up all of that information and follows up and plays a really active role in managing that stuff. And, I'm just blown away. So you guys, you know, you guys are really, you know, an integral part of the whole process and a huge resource to help people with this. I'm wondering if we shouldn't actually consider launching some kind of a conversation about death in our community, you know, that Hillcrest could be participating in.
And we would be absolutely interested in having those conversations. Mm. And if that's what it takes, and it's interesting that you talked about your parents coming in and things. And I wanted to ask you, when you first heard that they wanted to come in and talk about their funerals, what was your first reaction? Did you put up a hand?
No. It was huge relief. I thought, yes, let's book it.
It was a relief.
Yeah, let's book it right away. Like I made the date. We called you guys up and I wanted to sort of really support her and encourage her. It was her idea. Mm-hmm. And she was saying, you know, we really want to take care of this. It's funny. Since that's happened, her brother has been talking to her. He's a younger brother, but he's in his 70s. And he said, you know, you can't take away too many of those responsibilities from your kids because it's part of the grieving process and they need to be proactive and they need to be involved and you can't do it all for them. And don't pay for everything, you know, because it's, you know, it was. But I think he's also, you know, promoting involvement and planning, but just maybe saying get them involved earlier kind of thing.
Yeah. And we do always try to encourage that. If somebody is coming in to talk about their prearrangements or to talk about their end of life plan and things like that, Mark does try to say to people, and sometimes he knows the people and things, is your son going to come in with you? Is your daughter thinking about coming in with you?
Well, he seemed to be pleased that I was there with her.
Exactly. Because even though you're not having that conversation over dinner, you're still having that conversation.
The beginnings.
And your family is part of that conversation. So Mark can kind of act as a facilitator. Mm-hmm. And then you're hearing those words actually come out of your parents' mouth.
That's right. That was the biggest experience during that session. I was sitting there on the sidelines, but hearing my mother articulate things that I hadn't heard before. It was a really big surprise. Ironically, it was during this is sort of beginnings and endings, life and death. During that conversation between Mark and my mother that I was party to, I received a text message from my daughter who had just given birth to my first grandson.
It's all full circle.
Yeah,
it really, really is.
So I was sitting there in tears, but not because my mother was talking about my dad's, you know, impending death, but because my daughter had just given birth to our first grandson. It was really something.
Again, it's another emotion. And even though death evokes sadness and grief, and I know people do struggle with that, then there are happier times in our life. And if we don't acknowledge the sad times in our life, if we don't stop and take the time to go to funerals, to pay respect to those people who have left, and to allow our emotions out, and you need to have that sadness to be able to embrace those happier times too. So I know we definitely, as human beings, we do just want to push that away. We want to protect our children. We really try to encourage people to bring children to the funeral home, to make them part of the services, to have them helping with the picture boards and all those things that go on to prepare for the funeral. Because again, it just makes them feel that they're involved and they're part of the whole process.
Yes. Okay, well, I think that's a really good spot to wrap up this conversation. Lisa, I really appreciate you taking the time today to go through this with us. You are our community expert on this topic, you and Mark.
Well, thank you very much. And I do want to come back, though. I really do mean it. And I want to talk about wills and estates and those kinds of things.
Okay.
And maybe have a lawyer sit in on the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a whole other topic. And again, it's something that's very important. Yeah. But I believe the most important thing is planning for our own end of life.
Okay. And starting the conversation.
Yep. And not just talking about the funeral, talking about other things that come before we even come close to dying, but just talking about it.
Perfect. Well, that's Lisa Henderson at Hillcrest Funeral Home. And I'm going to take you up on, I don't know if it was an offer or not, but that we're going to actually start, well, we'll certainly do a follow-up interview about wills and that kind of thing. And I'll even use myself as a case study.
Okay.
But I also want to see if we can launch some kind of community-based conversation about death that maybe Hillcrest would be interested in being involved with. Maybe have a dinner and go step by step through it.
Really, really do love that idea.
Yeah.
Any sort of venue to get the conversation going.
Mm-hmm.
Just take the initiative and get involved in your own goodbye.
Excellent. Thanks again, Lisa.
Thank you.